Loungers, what's going on? Been a minute since I've been able to get you some content, but here we are. It's just been crazy. You guys know I've told you before, I have a bunch of stuff going on, and it doesn't seem to be lightening up. So I had about 5 minutes, threw this together for you. Well, I wrote the podcast a while ago, but I threw this together last minute as far as the filming and the recording. I got about 10, 15 minutes, so hopefully we can knock this out quickly. You might be able to tell I haven't figured out the name yet, but we're going to be talking about some nightmares. I did a podcast on it years ago, and we talked about how food can play a big role. Your day can play a big role. Just everything in general can make a big role or have a big role in the nightmares that you have. And lately my daughter's been getting them, and it's nightly. And she's telling me that even when she closes her eyes, she can see evil things. And so I feel bad for her because I can't help her, really. I can to an extent, and we're doing things, her mom and I, but it's rough, man. If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. In trying to relate to her, I've mentioned that I have them too and that I get them all the time. And so the other night, it's cute, she was praying, and she prayed that, you know, my nightmares go away. And unfortunately, I've been praying for that for a long time, and they haven't, right? And for her, she's young. She doesn't have the life experience that I have. And so I just feel really bad. I understand when I get woken up by a nightmare. I understand it was just a nightmare. It was a dream. And I can move on. Like, I've been able to separate that from reality. And it's easier for me to get back to sleep and things like that. But for her, you know, it's not working for her, and she's having a rough time with it. So, with that, sorry, I'm trying to fix some settings here real quick that I didn't expect to happen. Mine stopped for a while. As you guys know, I stopped. I got out of the medical field about a year and a half ago now, maybe a little more. And my nightmares seemed to stop for a while, and lately they seem to be coming back. I don't know what's triggering them other than stress. Food could, like I talked about before, but it just seems like they come in waves. And I seem to be through them for right now, but I don't know. We'll see. There's an artist named Jelly Roll, and not a huge fan of his, but there is a song he does called Creature featuring an artist called Tech N9ne. And there's a bunch of lines in there that are just super relatable. And I wrote them down so that I don't screw them up. I don't want to do it justice if I can, but one of the lines is, both my feet were planted when most people would have panicked. That's pretty much our whole career, right? And it's funny to hear people not in EMS or first responders who talk about their nightmares, and they were, you know, they've been so planted when everybody panics, and we literally can't panic. Right? That's when lives get lost. That's when we do things wrong and we make mistakes and we can't. And it makes me laugh, but I got to take a step back and think, you know, I don't know what they've been through. So everybody's story is different, and some are going to be worse than ours. And realistically, do we have really bad stories? It didn't happen to us. Right? And I think that's one of the bigger differences, is that, you know, people who have trauma that was inflicted on them directly is going to be a lot worse than what we have. We see the trauma. We're the ones there to help with the trauma, but it's not being done directly to us. And so there's differences, and I understand that. But you know, my first thought is, what trauma do you seriously have that you feel this way? You don't do what I do. But that's just me with an ego, I guess. One thing that he does say in the song is called, "I'm not afraid of the boogeyman. Instead, I look at him like he's a friend." I guess that's what it comes down to. When you're so used to it, you just become comfortable with what's going on and what you're seeing in your nightmares. And I've kind of gotten to that point, to the point of, like I said, when I have a nightmare, I can wake up sweating, I can wake up screaming and yelling and whatever, flailing, and I can get back to bed relatively quickly. It's just one of those things where I wake up and just go, oh, there's another one, right, and go back to bed. And that's the only solace I have with mine. Another line he has is, there's a monster out there in the world that's scarier than the one within. I get it. I think for him, and I'm just speculating, I have no basis of this, he has stated he's done drugs, and maybe that's what's creating some of his issues. I'm sure he probably has had a bad life. I know he's been to jail. I don't know what it was for. And so I'm sure there's things that have happened to him that are far worse than have happened to me or any of us in EMS and first responders. But I get it. I get it. It's, you know, the monster out there in the world that's scarier than the one within. I don't know what else to say about that. I understand it. I totally feel it. You know, one of the things that comes to mind with that is there is a phrase in the Bible, and I know you, not all of you guys are Bible thumpers, right? But Isaiah 6:8 says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. And I'm gonna expand on that and that's kind of tying into the rest of the story. And then I found a quote by a gentleman by the name Travis Mannion, and he was military. And I'm sorry to the family or whomever might know him that I didn't get more info about him. But one of his famous sayings apparently was, if not me, then who? And for those of you who are watching or are listening and you're not in EMS, most of us who got into this industry, being a first responder, we didn't really have any idea of what we were getting ourselves into. Not everybody, but a vast majority of us didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know what we were getting into. We just thought it was all glitz and glam and we're going to go fight fire and we're going to save lives and everything will be happy and this is going to be the greatest feeling in the world and we're never going to be sad. And it's not like that. You guys know what I'm talking about. And there's going to be some people that fight me on that and go, nope, I love my job. I love what I do. Every day is a great day. You know, I don't have any PTSD. I've never had anything bad happen. If that's the case, lucky. I can't imagine anybody being in a first responder position and having a great day every single day. It's impossible. I mean, unless you work at one of these stations where you have, you know, you measure your calls by the month. Hey, I had two calls last month. You know, you guys know I've been in a busy system. There was one year I was working in the snow, and I think we ran over 40 TCs in a matter of less than 2 hours. Now, granted, they're not technically major TCs, but most of them were either rollovers or over the side. Fortunately, no damage. They were all at slow speed. We never even really had to get out of the rig at one point. It was, we would pull over, look at the person either in the car or out of the car. Do you need help? No. Do you don't need anything other than a tow? No. Great. We'll see you later. Take care. And we would clear that one. And literally as we would clear, they would just attach us to another one a little further down the road. But I remember it was something like 40 TCs in a matter of in a few hours. You know, I've ran 26 to 28, maybe 30 calls in a 24-hour window. I've been in busy systems, and we had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. But sorry, I totally flubbered that. What I was getting at was you can't work in a busy system like that and have good days all the time. It just doesn't happen. It can't. It's impossible. Not in this industry. Looking back, I don't think we would have changed our career path had we known what was going to happen as far as our mental health. I don't think any of us would change it. I think, you know, I hate to sound cliche and people say it was a calling. I don't think it was a calling for me. I think it was a gift that I had, and I knew that, and I kind of exploited my gift, and I got to do a lot of cool things, and that was kind of my point of getting into being a first responder was, and I've said this before, we get to do and see things that not a lot of people get to do. When I was with County Fire, the county was testing a dam. They were letting the water out, and there were tens of thousands of gallons per minute. It was huge. It was a massive amount of water flow that they were testing. And we went to go look at it. We were on shift. It was still in our district, so we're like, hey, let's go check it out. We get there. This dam, I think, is about the seventh largest in Southern California, or maybe even California. I don't remember. It's a fairly large dam. And we pulled up to the guard shack, which they're armed, by the way. And we asked, hey, can we go up? Can we take the engine up on the dam and just check it out? We want to just pre-plan in case there's a big fire. We know what we're looking at. We know what we're getting ourselves into. And they were more than welcoming. They opened up the gate. They let us go. In fact, they told us about certain directions we had to take while we were going up. And I know that there is very, very few, if anybody other than me, that's been on that dam in a fire engine. It just doesn't happen. And not a lot of people think about it. We did. And we just thought it was something cool. And that was something my captain had said. He's like, dude, that would be cool if we could get up there and park an engine on there. So we went up, we parked the engine, we took photos, and I'm desperately trying to find them because I do have them, but they're lost in an email long ago. I wish I could find. But that was why I got into it. It wasn't a matter of, oh, I'm going to go save lives. And honestly, I didn't care about saving lives when I first started. I really didn't. I was going fire. I wanted to be a fireman. I wanted to fight fires. That's all I wanted to do. Didn't want to run the medical aids. Still don't. But that was my thing. I want to go in. I want to fight fires. I want to go on TCs. I want to, you know, extrication. I want to do, you know, confined space rescue, swift water rescue, hazmat. I wanted to do it all. I didn't care about saving the lives. I wanted to go have fun. And that's how it was to me. And even as a fireman and even in EMS, I saw work as fun. There was no work for me. It was fun. Towards the end, maybe not so much. But I enjoyed it. I loved going to work. I loved running lights. I run sirens. Going into situations where people, you know, everybody's running out, we're running in. Like, that was fun to me. So to me, as a kid, getting into it, very naive of what I was running into. And would I do it again? 100%. 100%, I'd do it again. Even knowing what I know now, right? I'm like I said, I'm still dumb enough to do it. I would. I don't have the desire to go back to it really. But if I had to rewind and do it again, I would do it again. And I would go even harder next time. That's just how it is. You know, the things that happen, like I said, we don't know what people's stories are, right? We don't know what people are going through. And actually, as I was writing this, this podcast out, I was talking to another meme page admin. And he was telling me how, you know, he posted something. And I forget what it was, but it was something like, basically it comes down to, you don't know what you got till it's gone, right? Those moments that you have and you just think nothing of it, but then, you know, it was with a person and now that person's gone and you're like, man, I really miss that person. I miss that moment. You just don't know what you got till it's gone. But he's telling me how he lost his wife to an overdose at the age of 39. And realistically, that's the stuff that true nightmares are made of. You know, mine are EMS, are due to EMS. Now, my nightmares aren't of EMS. They're different. And they normally involve my family, my kids, and my wife, and what have you. But, yeah, I ran on a kid who got ran over. And it sucks, and it hurts, and it's hard, and it's, you know, you remember this type of stuff, and it sticks with you forever. And you guys know what I'm talking about. But this guy lost his wife. I had no attachment to this child who was ran over. He lost his wife, the mother of his children. That's who he lost. My best friend I've known since 93, 94. We've been friends. Or at least I knew of him. We didn't really become friends till 95. My best friend to this day lost his wife 8 days after she gave birth to their son. That's what nightmares are made of, right? And I'm not taking anything away from us. I'm not taking anything away from me, from you. If you have nightmares from EMS, fire, law enforcement, whatever, nursing, I get it. I get them too. And I'm not taking anything away from that. But most of ours are just simply from being there, right? We didn't have any actual attachment to most of our calls. And so, you know, one of the things, going back to that and talking about a child ran over, when I was in the field, I remember my first PEDS traumatic arrest, and I can still, I can tell you where it was, what street, there was a park, I can tell you the time of the day, I can tell you, I can't tell you time of the week, can't tell you the month, I can get close, you know, and basically, it was a PEDS traumatic arrest, the boy was ran over by a truck, the driver of the truck was on his phone, and I'm not talking a pickup truck, I'm talking a big rig. He was on his phone looking down, didn't see the stop sign, and the kid got ran over. The thing that got me was mom saw the whole thing. And IC requested that we stay there on scene until either the coroner showed up and removed the body or mom left, whichever came first. And so we were there for hours. And I know it was summertime because I remember running the rig the whole time, which we normally do anyways, but I had the AC blowing, so it was nice and cold. And I just remember telling the crews from the fire department and everybody who was there, I says, look, if there's anything that needs to be done with the body, I'll go ahead and do it. I was older than most of the guys on scene at the time, even still. But I didn't have kids at the time. So to me, I was like, look, this doesn't bother me. You know, it's not an issue to me. I don't see what you see, and whatever needs to be done, I'll be done. And I didn't realize the impact that would have on me later on. But and kind of going in lines with that, I'm the type of person, look, if you had nightmares, I'd take them. If I could somehow get you to not have those nightmares, I would take them. And that's kind of my philosophy in EMS and fire. Was I know how bad it hurts, I'll take it. Hopefully I'm strong enough, I will take it so that you don't have to deal with it later on. And I feel like sometimes that worked in my favor, but for the most part, I don't think it did. But again, I'd still do it. And even now, knowing the price I would pay for it, I would still do it. And I've tried to tell my daughter that, look, I would gladly take away your nightmares so that you don't have them. And I would do that pretty much for anybody. That's just, it goes back to what we do, right? We're just trying to help people. And as crazy as this sounds, sometimes I feel like the nightmares actually help us become a better provider. Maybe not necessarily make us be better, but they give us that drive to do better on the next call. Does that make sense? It's like we're chasing something, right? If we can get it right this time, it'll right all the wrongs we had in the past. Even though we know it's not going to happen, it's that hope that, hey, this is just like that call I went on before, but this one worked out, and that's why I do it. And I get it, and that's how we justify it, but we're hoping it just kind of wipes away the memory, and hopefully it just kind of like, almost like a computer, and just overwrites that memory of the bad, and hopefully now we can replace that bad with a good memory. And it's almost to the point of an addiction, right? And there's no other way to explain it, at least not to me. And this is going to be controversial, and I get it. I understand. We're no better than heroin addicts or cocaine addicts. Actually, let's use heroin. I like that one better, and it's going to fit with what I'm talking about. And yeah, I said it. Fight me. Look, years ago, I remember working in L.A., we got a call for a man down in the middle of the major street. It was a major intersection, Central Avenue, right? Central in L.A. And it was for an overdose patient, or we didn't know. We just knew it was for a man down. And it turns out he was an overdose patient. He was face down in the middle of the street. Cars were literally driving. I had to drive around him to continue on with their day. And in his hand, he had a plastic bag, and in that plastic bag was basically his paperwork from prison saying he'd been released. Still there, like in the bag, sealed up, in his hands, and he had a wristband on. Apparently, wherever he was, they had wristbands showing they were there, or they were prisoners, or what have you. It was still on his wrist. And we Narcan this guy, and we get him back, and I ask him, hey, go ahead, what's the deal? Like, how'd you end up in jail, if you don't mind? And I was just trying to make conversation. And he says he did some time for basically drugs. And it was a drug bust that had gone bad. And he had ratted out his dealer. His dealer did time, but this guy got reduced sentence for ratting him out. The dealer knew this. He knew he got ratted on by this guy. This guy, when he was released, got a cab straight from prison to his dealer's house. Like, didn't go anywhere else but there first. That was the first place he said I had to go there, and there was nowhere else I had to go. I get it. I understand. That addiction drives you. The guy looks at me and goes, you want to hear the worst part? And I go, what's that? And he goes, I knew I was going to get bad heroin. I knew my drugs were going to be laced with something that was probably going to kill me. But it was worth it to get the fix. Think about that. He knew he could possibly die. Just like we know that next call could suck. We know that next trauma could be by far the worst thing we've ever seen. It could be that mass shooting. It could be, I'm not even going to say it. I don't need to. You already know what your worst nightmare is. That call could be your next call. You know this. But what do? You get up, you put on your uniform, your badge, and you put your boots on, and you go back to work. It's an addiction. Let's call it what it is. Sorry. I call it like I see him. Spade is a spade. You know, and I say that because of this. Next time you're feeling superior to that addict that's laying on the floor, just know you're one too. You are. You're addicted to it, whether it's adrenaline or what have you. You're a junkie too. Sorry. I call it like I see him. Like I said, I think it's just that mental thought of, if I can do this and save this person, it will erase the bad one that I've seen similar to that. I don't know. I'm thinking it just helps with that feeling of failure. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, because it's an addiction, and there's days still now where I miss running calls. Mostly fire. TCs. Not the medical aids. Not the wasted medical aids. And you guys go, what do you mean a wasted medical aid? Man, I've had phone calls for the dumbest things. I've had phone calls for people to take their urine sample to the hospital. That's why they called 911. Right? Like, that's not, you can say, oh, well, we always get called when it's a person's bad day. No, not always. It's just they need a favor. They need help. Right? And I understand that, but that's not a 911 call, but I've ran it. And talking about nightmares, I've actually ran on a woman who had a nightmare in the middle of the night. She woke up, wanted to go to the hospital. I'm guessing for anti-anxiety meds. I don't know. But she didn't want to ride with her husband in his truck because the nightmare she had was about him mistreating her. So she called 911. That's what I'm talking about. I don't miss those. But there's days where I'm thinking, man, and I know this sounds twisted, but I know that if you're in this industry, you understand it. I miss a good code, trauma, what have you, where you're with that crew that's good, they're dialed, they know what they're doing, and you guys don't even have to say a word. But everybody knows their job, they know what to do, and it gets done, and it happens, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And when I think about that, it makes me wanting to go back in, makes me want to go back in. And then I come back to reality, and I think, I don't want to do anything above it, the sort, because of the nightmares that I have. So, I don't know. You know, my biggest thing is we haven't failed. Listen, as a healthcare provider, as a fireman, law enforcement, whatever, we haven't failed when we lose somebody. It's not a matter of failing. Not always. I mean, unless you made some really big mistakes and then you failed. But life's fragile. We know this. And sometimes only God can save them. We can't. It's too late. It's too much damage, what have you. Why? I don't know. That's just part of it. It's just something you can't explain. Some live, some don't. It's not up to us to decide. We always say it. We're not saving lives. We're just delaying death. Right? As cliche as that is and corny as it sounds, that's what it is. So I've said it before. I've said it again. You know, I'll say it again, I should say. You know, that headache could have been a bleed later on. The low blood sugar, guess what? It's going to continue to drop. The elevated blood sugar, it's going to probably go up because they're probably not going to stop eating, right? Until they get it under control. Whatever it is, you know, that patient who passed out, who knows? Maybe it turns into a stroke. Maybe they're an AFib. Maybe they convert. Maybe they go into VTAC. We don't know. The abdominal pain, STEMI, right? We don't know. So any one of those could have been worse than what they were, but we were fortunate enough to be there to save them. So don't beat yourself up over that. As far as the nightmares go, I use prayer. I know I'm not trying to get too preachy on this, but I use prayer. There's not a lot of things you can do. I definitely believe in, you know, physical fitness for your mental health. I know it's huge. You can't tell by this. I'm trying. But that's huge. I've noticed a huge difference in my anxiety. It's weird. I've never dealt with anxiety before in my life until a few years ago. And I don't know what brought it on. There was no specific event that I know brought it on. I'm sure it's just the loaded up trauma. And I did a little research, which I always do. And I found that, I guess, apparently in middle-aged men, anxiety is super common. I don't know. I'm trying the physical part, see if I can get some exercises going on here, trying to get some better shape, especially now that I'm off the rig. I don't got to worry about that. You know, the extra few pounds you get from being on a rig. So hopefully that works. We'll see. We're trying. That's all I really got for you. I wanted to get this together and get this out there because I know some people are struggling. So something new, if you're still listening, what I want to do is I'm going to try and go live in a couple days. I'm going to give this a few days to run, and then I'll do a live. And I'm not sure where I'm going to do it yet. It may be YouTube. It may be on Instagram, maybe Facebook. I don't know. But I'll announce it when we're, you know, a little bit before and give you guys a heads up. So if you're not following us on social media, go for it. We're still on Facebook. We're still on Instagram. Those are the only two we're running, really. And, well, now on YouTube. So, but I'll announce it and let you guys know so we can get as many people to chime in on that. If you have questions, comments, concerns, you can ask. Doesn't mean I'll answer them, but we'll try it. See what happens. Other than that, I don't have anything else for you this week. We will talk to you next time. Have a good one. Keep lounging.